We are holding on Lama Gimel Lama Aleph, four lines from the bottom. Let's see how much we can catch up today. Okay. So we're holding Lama Gimel Lama Aleph, four lines from the bottom. Okay. We learned yesterday about the whole question of who's considered your Rebbe. Is it the one who taught you Chochmah, namely Gemara? Is it the one who taught you whatever it is you know the most of, be it Tanakh, Mishnah, or Gemara? Or is it even if you only learned one, say, the explanation of one Mishnah from him?
Who is your Rav?
Who is your Rebbe? Who is considered your Rebbe as far as the Dinim in our Mishnah, as far as that his...
Both like David and Melech Rashi Tovah.
Right, well, that's it. So who's considered your... So who's considered your Rebbe as far as these... No, but okay, because Sheheir Ein of the Mishnah, that amounts to the same thing. Whatever, I mean, so we discussed yesterday about that. So therefore, now the Gemara is going to digress a little bit to talk about the relative merits of Tanakh versus Mishnah, learning Tanakh versus Mishnah versus Gemara. Turn it up,
who's your Rebbe?
Not so much who's your Rebbe. This is sort of a digression. This is since we mentioned yesterday who your Rebbe is in that connection, so now we're going to talk about in general what's better to learn. Which of the three is it better to learn? Turn it up on him. Ha'oiskin b'mikra, people who are involved in learning Mikra, namely Tanakh, Midah, Tanakh in general, Midah ve'ena Midah. It's a Midah, meaning there's a certain advantage to it, but it's not really an important Midah. Because Rashi says the Tanakh is already written down. Mishnah and Gemara were not in those days. So therefore, it was more important to learn Mishnah and Gemara, where they might be forgotten, than Tanakh, where you always have the books available.
Think that has changed?
According to Rashi's explanation, then it would mean that that's changed. Rabbi Nachmanano gives a different explanation. He says that's because you can't learn from Tanakh what to actually do and not do. You can't learn the halachas from there. In which case, maybe that's also changed. The truth is, because Mishnah and Gemara nowadays, you can't learn halacha from either.
But on the other hand, you cannot learn Mishnah and Gemara without learning Tanakh.
Fine, but okay, midah ve'ena midah. There's a certain midah to it, but it's ve'ena midah. Actually, Marsha, therefore, sort of says along the lines that you're saying. He says, you know, it says in Pirkei Avos that ben chamesh shanu l'mikra, ben esther the Mishnah, ben chamesh esther the Gemara. So therefore, the verse is, he says, Tanakh is midah ve'ena midah. It's a midah, it's something that you have to do earlier in life. Ve'ena midah, but really, by the time you even come to bar mitzvah, you should already be past Tanakh. You should be already in the middle of Mishnayos. Therefore, midah ve'ena midah, it's like it's a midah for when you're younger, but ve'ena midah, it's not something for when you're older. The Mishnah, learning Mishnah, focusing on Mishnah, midah ve'noit malei eschar. That's a midah for which you get. It's something positive for which you get a reward for which you get an appropriate reward from the Eishtei. And again, Marsha explains the vote is because Mishnah, you're learning some of it after your bar mitzvah already at a time and an age.
You can't learn halacha from Mishnah.
You can't learn halacha. Wait, yeah.
So
fine. It is a midah. There's a certain advantage to it, but there's a certain good to it. The noitan l'aschai, you do get a schai from Eivishti for learning it. But Gemara ein lecha midah gdoila mizu. There's nothing greater than Gemara, which, as we said, means Rashi said before earlier on the Omer that it means to understand the reasons behind the Mishnah. Which Tana taught a particular Mishnah? How do we find from Mishnayos and Braisas that they don't contradict each other, etc.
Yes.
By the way, when all of our Gemara uses the word throughout this discussion we're using the word Gemara, that was really changed by the censors. The original editions of the Gemara said Talmud, but for some reason the censors didn't like the word Talmud. No, they didn't like the word Talmud, and therefore they ordered it changed, and therefore they ended up using the word Gemara instead. Okay.
The real word was Talmud.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Ula olam heavy rotzal mishnah yosim and gemara. However, the braisa continues. You should always run to learn mishnah over learning gemara. So go for kash. Then you have a contradiction. Amrit the gemara ain lachamidik der lemizu. You're saying gemara. There's no greater thing than it. V'hadu amrit ula olam heavy rotzal mishnah yosim and gemara. But then we're saying you should run to mishnah more than gemara. So what is it? Which one takes precedence? Amrit of yosim and be may rebbe nishnis mishnah do. We have to understand the history. This braisa was taught in the times of Rebbe. This that we said, Gemara ein lecha midah gdoila mizu, was taught in the times of Rebbe. So Rashi gives the background, the famous background that, beginning from the times of Hillel and Shammai, a few generations before Rebbe, machloikas started to proliferate. There came the point that Torah almost was like two Torahs because of the number of machloikas in, because of all the persecutions and all the troubles and everything. Until finally in Rebbe's times, they had a respite because Antoninus and Rebbe were friends, as we know. So therefore, he was able to gather together all the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael and gather together all the material from the Tanoim. So Rebbe lived the end of the 2nd century. So you're talking about from like 170 to 200 of the Chachamim era, yeah. So you're talking about 100 odd years after the Chochmah.
When Israel was already under the Romans?
They were already under the Romans for a couple hundred years at that point, yeah. So...
What
Shloshadurus. There were three generations before him, because if you count, you'd see Rebbe's father was Reb Shimon Gamliel, his grandfather was Reb Gamliel Azokin, and then Yavne, and then a generation before that already is still the times of Machlokes and of Hillel and Shammai, the time of Reb Shimon Gamliel, the first one. Okay, anyway. The point is, therefore, so Rashi says, that now Rebbe was able, because of the peaceful time, he's able to gather together all the Chachamim. They're able to get together all the different versions of Mishnayos that were floating around, organize them into a logical order, as we have them in Mishnayos, and be able to figure out. Rebbe would, for example, there would be an opinion of one individual Tana, but Rebbe would put it in the Mishnah as a Stam Mishnah in order to establish that Halacha is like it. So with all that done, therefore, Gemara, it came out, is the greatest thing, because people need, once the Mishnah is already codified, then you need the Gemara in order, the primary thing should be to learn Gemara, to understand the reasons, but why did Rebbe make this Stam Mishnah according to this Tana? Can we reconcile it with what this Tana says elsewhere, etc., all that sort of thing. So that was Gemara. However, Shav Kukula Al-Nasnitin, once Rebbe said that, look, now the Mishnah is codified, everybody should focus on Gemara. Everybody started abandoning learning Mishnah, reviewing the Mishnah, in other words, Rashi says, for Ozla lost the Gemara, and they all started running to learn Gemara. So Rebbe himself, no less, said that Mishnah is not so important anymore. Hodur Dorosh Lahu, so now he had to douche into them the second part of the price, the Olam Havidoth, the Mishnah Yosemina Gemara, that you should always run to Mishnah, because the fact of the matter is, like you said, you can't have Gemara without Mishnah. You need to know the basic facts before you can start analyzing them. If you don't know the Mishnah properly, you're going to end up making a mistake. Which Tana said what, for example, and you're going to come to wrong conclusions. So it's both. In other words, the point is, the Mishnah is already codified, it's not so important to get into the details of all the different versions of Mishnayos, because fine, you have one Mishnah, which is now for the whole Jewish people. However, you need to know that Mishnah before you're going to delve into Gemara.
Was the Talmud qualified at times of Rebbe or only Rav Ashi?
The Gemara was codified in the times of Ravina and Rav Ashi. We're talking about the Mishnah, but you know, this is a few hundred years. But we're talking about, in other words, that even in Rebbe's time, there existed a Gemara. There existed this delving into the Mishnayos to understand the reasons behind them and reconciling them and so forth.
Did they repeat the Gemara at that time?
It was an unofficial thing. The Gemara consisted of unofficial discussions. It wasn't formalized into any kind of discussion.
It came with Rav Ashi?
Eventually Rav Ashi and Ravina formalized it the way we have it.
200 years later?
That's 200, 300 years later, yeah.
So about the 300 of the Common Era?
About 400, 400, 500 about, yeah. So you're talking, yeah, okay. Yeah. Again, by the way, Marsha explains in line with what he was saying about the various ages when you're supposed to be learning things, what was happening once Rebbe said this, is even children below 15, which the Kriyavis tells us 15 is the age to start learning Gemara, we're going and learning Gemara and ignoring Mishnayos. So Rebbe taught them, Olam have a rot. When you're at the age, when you're still running around like a little kid, that's when you should be focusing on Mishnayos. Later, when you get older, you'll focus on Gemara.
Because he also attains greatness
through Mishnayos. That is true, yeah. Okay.
The Beit Yosef,
yeah, there's this famous thing that a Malach, the Maggid, his own personal Maggid, came to him and taught him Sodas HaTorah and other such things on the basis of, he said, because of the greatness of the fact that you learn Mishnayos. Yeah, that's what we're saying over here. So Gemara says, my Jerush, fine. When Rebbe originally said this original statement that Gemara is greater, that Ein L'chamid Gdor Lehemena, what was he using as a basis for that Jerusha? The answer is, Kedidorish Reb Yehuda Ber Biloi. He followed what Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, the Stam Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, Darshan as follows. My dichtiv, what does it mean? There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Hagev la'ami pishon, tell my nation their deliberate avera, pesha is a deliberate rebellious avera, or the base Yaakov chatoisam, and to bait to the house of Yaakov, tell their chatos, which is their inadvertent, their shogig. So what is that? What's the double expression? What's pisham and chatoisam? Hagid la'ami pisham elotum erchachamim shishas sheshgrovit nasulem kizdoinis. The Ami, referring over here, is the Talmid Chachamim. We're there, the Ami, meaning the Talmid Chacham, even if they do an Avera by mistake, it's considered like a Zodin, it's considered like something on purpose, because they should know better. They should have delved into the Gemara to know what the right thing to do is. And therefore, if they do the wrong thing because they didn't delve into the Gemara, and they misunderstood the Mishnah, therefore, then it's considered as if it was a Pesha, because they should have been more careful. Well, the Beis Yaakov, Chatoisam, Elu, Ami, Arat, Shazonis, Lassalam, Kishgaris. Whereas the Beis Yaakov, tell them they're chatos, that's referring to the Amei Oretz, the rest of the people, even if they do an Aveda deliberately, I consider it, the Eibishter says, as a chatos, as a shogig, because they didn't know better. Because unlike the Talmud Chachamim, we're expected to delve into the Gemara, the average person is not. Ah, so Maharsha points that out. Maharsha gives a different twist on what the Gemara is saying over here. He says, Fakesh, well, the Gemara is saying in a different way than Rashi says. A Talmud Chacham, because he knows the halachas, therefore, he, in his own mind, even somebody does an Aveira inadvertently, he will know the seriousness and realize that it's a Pesha, because he, having learned Gemara, will know that this is wrong according to what we learned. Whereas the Amiyaris don't realize that. Even somebody does it, they do an Aveira, or somebody see somebody doing an Aveira deliberately, they think it's only a mistake because they themselves don't know the Din.
Yeah. So he's encouraging.
No, the point is, therefore, according to that, it comes out. It is encouraging a person to be a Talmud Chacham in order to know right from wrong. In order to know right from wrong, that's the point. Rebbe said, you have to learn Gemara, because without Gemara, you're not going to know the actual halachas. You're not going to be able to understand it from
the Mishnah. The more you know, the more liable you are.
According to the way Rashi explains it, again, according to the way Maharsha explains it, the point is, the more you know, the more you know what the liability is that's involved, and therefore you
less
know
likely.
To be careful, you'll be less likely to do an Aveira yourself, and you'll be less likely to tolerate it in other people either. Behind the Tanan, and this is what we mean when it says in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean the same Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi, is Stam Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. He says in Pirkei Avos, Hevei Zohar b'Talmud, be careful with Talmud, meaning with Gemara, Sheshigas Talmud Ola Zadin, because even a mistake in Talmud, if you make a mistake and you're learning that you misunderstand what the Mishnah is saying, and because of that you pass it incorrectly, that's considered as if it was a Zadin. You're punishable, Rashi says, as if you did it on purpose, because again, you should have been more careful to learn the Gemara properly and therefore to understand what the halacha should be. In those days, they did. Nowadays, we don't, because we're already in the times of the Achronim. We passed it based on the Rishonim's understanding of the Gemara.
But if you misinterpret or you don't understand,
that's the point. The Talmud Chacham is responsible to, you're a doctor, a doctor makes a mistake, he cuts the wrong way, okay, he made a mistake, whatever, but the guy's still dead, right? So, yeah. Darash Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Now we have another Darasha from the same Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. My dichtiv, another thing about the relative merit of the different types of people among the Jews. My dichtiv, shimu dvar Hashem acharedim al dvarei. Listen to the word of Hashem, you who are chared, you who tremble at His word, meaning who are extra careful to follow His words. What does that mean? Elo tamer chachamim. That refers. Okay, the whole pasuk goes like this. It's actually we have it in the Haftarah for Shabbos or Shchodesh. The whole pasuk goes like this. Shimu dvar Hashem acharedim al dvarei. Listen to the word of Hashem, you who tremble at His word. Amru Achet, meaning, well, before the Drasha over here, the simple meaning of the pasuk is it means the Jewish people collectively, or the people among the Jewish people who are careful about mitzvahs, whatever. Amru Achechem Sen'echem Minadechem, your brothers, those who hate you, those who consider you like a nidah, like something to be cast out or whatever, say about you, L'man Shmi Yichbad Hashem, because of my name Hashem will be glorified, meaning what I do is the most important, what you do doesn't count for anything. In the end, the nira b'simchaschem, we will see in your joy the hemiyei voishu, and they will be embarrassed. So the simple meaning of the pasuk is it's addressing those people who are keeping mitzvahs and saying you have the various people who don't keep mitzvahs who consider you meaning the people who actually keep mitzvahs, they consider you to be either the no good next or whatever, we want nothing to do with you. We're the ones who glorify Hashem's name in the world, not realizing that they're actually doing averus. In the end, when Mashiach comes, we'll see who really has the truth. Here the Gemara is going to dash in it somewhat differently.
So the ignorant people are...
The ignorant people, the people who are doing... Yeah, who are accusing the knowledgeable people. We're doing the right thing. You guys, you frumachs are doing the wrong thing. Yeah, so here the Gemara is going to dash in it a bit differently. Shimu dvar Hashem acharedim al dvarei elo tamer chachamim. The pasuk continues, Amru acheichem elo baran hekra. Your brothers... Now, who are your brothers? Means the ones who learn Tanakh. They're your brothers in the sense they know they have to rely on you. They know you can't pass in halacha from Tanakh. Therefore, they know they have to rely on you, the Baalei Gemara, the people who know how to determine the halacha to figure out the correct thing. Sein Eichem Ele Baalei Mishnah. The ones who hate you means the ones who learn Mishnah, because Rashi says there's always this friction between the Mishnah and the Gemara people. The Baalei Mishnah think that they know the halacha because they have the Mishnah in front of them. They don't. The Baalei Gemara always telling them you can't pass in halacha from the Mishnah. You're mixing things up. Maharsha actually says differently. Maharsha says Sein Eichem is Meloshin Shana, Meloshin the same root as Mishnah. Sein Eichem therefore means the ones who learn Mishnah. Minadechem elu amei aretz. The ones minadechem who consider you like a nidah, who consider you repulsive, are the amei aretz, where the famous thing that amei aretz hate.
The people who learn Mishnah, or the people.
No, the minadechem therefore means no. Senechem therefore means the Baalei Mishnah, relative to the Baalei Gemara. Yeah. Minadechem elu amei aretz, and the amei aretz are the ones who consider you minadechem relative to the Talmud Chacham. The amei aretz hate. to all the others, I guess, but primarily to the Talmud Chachamim, the ones who learn Gemara. Shema Toma Pasuk Sivrim Abotel Sikuyam. Now you might think, therefore, the Pasuk is implying that the Pasuk is implying that Laman Shmi Yichbad Hashem, all these groups are saying because of me Hashem is going to be glorified, implying, but it's not so. In the end, we're going to find out the truth. So you would think the ones who learn Tanakh and Mishnah and the Amei Oretz or whatever, that's it. You know, they're claiming they have something good, but really they have nothing. No, Talmud Loim Benira B'Simchaschem. No, because the pasuk continues that they still have a certain still have a certain validity. They're part, they may not be on the level of the Bala Gemara, but they have a certain madrega of their own. Even the Amei Oretz, because the pasuk says Benira B'Simchaschem. We will see in your simcha. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says what it means is, if it said Ve'era V'Simchaschem, it would mean that I, the Talmud Chacham, are going to see the rejoicing, and you guys are going to be on the outside. Venira implies we're all in this together. All of us groups, or the Charedim El Dvarei, the Acheichem, the Senechem, and Adechem, we're all in one group. Marsha has a long explanation where he explains somewhat differently that the Nun of Venira can either mean we will see or it will be seen. So if it said, if it meant we will see, it would imply there's the we and then there's the you. But if it means it will be seen, meaning we're all in this together. The Eivishter will see, or will see the Simcha, or your Simcha, because speaking to all, all the groups. Shema Tovim Yisrael Yevashu. You might think then still there's going to be some Jews who are going to be embarrassed of what they didn't accomplish before Mashiach comes. Talmud Lomer Behem Yevashu. No, therefore the pasuk says they will be embarrassed. They meaning Ovdei Kochavim Yevashu Yisrael Yismachu. The Goyim will be embarrassed. The ones who have nothing to do with the Jewish people, they will be the ones who are bad. All the ones, even the Amei Aretz and all the other ones, they're all joined together in the Simcha. Yisrael Yismach.
So what's the schus of the Amei Aretz? I mean,
they have a certain schus. They keep mitzvahs as best they know how, and many of them support the Talmud Chacham. There's in fact a Gemara in Cholin that says that the Amei Aretz are like the leaves of a vine, and the Talmud Chacham are like the actual grapes on the vine. The grapes are the most important thing, it is true, but if it weren't for the leaves, I can't survive without the leaves, and therefore, yeah. So the Amei Aretz have their part to play as well. No, there's that, yeah. Okay. Hadron Alach Eilam Asi.
Very nice.
Why? Why?
No, I mean, it's...
Okay, now we're going to start talking about most of this parak is going to, or pretty much all of this parak is going to be talking about the dinim of the shoymin. So we learned about them briefly in Bava Kama, and we talk about them sporadically here and there. You have your shoymin chinam, who's potter from almost anything that happens, unless he was pesheya, unless he was careless. You have your shoyl, who's the opposite extreme, who's chayav for almost anything that happens, even if the animal is an onus, unless the animal just died of a natural course of work. And then you have in between, you have your shoymin socher and your socher, who are chayav for if the animal was lost or stolen, and they're potter to pay, and they're potter, meaning they have to swear if there was an onus. They have to swear to them that that's what happened, and then they'd be called to pay. So our parak is going to talk about a lot of the dinim of shoymrim, and then it's going to set that aside, and we're going to take it back up later in the Masechta. We're going to talk about more about the dalal shoymrim. So, Mishnah starts off, HaMafkid Eitz HaChaber Behemoi Kelim. If somebody deposits for safekeeping by somebody else an animal or Kelim, V'nignavoi She'avdu, and then they were stolen or they were lost. Now, let's say in the case of a shoyim chinam, which is what we're talking about over here, a shoyim chinam would be potter on that, provided that he swears. As provided he goes to base, the guy takes him to base camp, he swears that it was nignav or ovan, and then from his point of view, it's an oinus. It doesn't have to be. That's the point. For a shoyim chinam has a very low level of responsibility. Gneva and aveda is enough to make him potter. So, shilim v'lo rotza lishava. In this case, though, the shomer decided to pay rather than swearing. Now he could have gotten away with swearing because the Chachamim tell us that a Shem Chinam is able to swear to the truth of his claim. It's actually a triple Shavua. Rashi mentions two parts of it over here. One, that he wasn't Pesheya. Two, that he wasn't Sheleach Yad, that he didn't misuse it for his own purposes. And on Lamadal and Onbez, we're going to talk about a third one, that he doesn't have it in his Rishos anymore. So here, though, instead of swearing that triple shavua, which he could have sworn, instead he pays and he doesn't want to swear. Actually, on Lamadal and Orbez, we'll talk about he still has to swear the one thing, that's Eina B'Shosai, for reasons which we'll talk about there. But for the meanwhile, yeah. So he decides to pay rather than having to swear, which he could have, after all. He could have sworn the whole triple shavua, and he would be potter completely from paying. Now, Nimtza Ganav, if at that point we find the Ganav, Mishalim Tashlom Ekeifel. That Ganav now is going to have to pay Tashlom Ekeifel, as usual. Tavachom, the Ganav. If it was an animal and he had shechted it or stolen it, then as we learned in Bava Kama, he's going to have to pay Arba V'chamisha. Lemi Mishalim, in all these cases, who does he pay? Lemi Shapikot Nefer. He pays that kefal or that Arba V'chamisha to the shomer, because the shomer, having paid for the animal, was now koina any benefit that comes because of it, any kefal or dala v'heh, as we'll talk about in the Gemara.
Otherwise, you would have said it's Beribar.
Oh, that's the next case in the Mishnah.
Why do we need the next case to tell
because
that?
Because that's the next. Wait. Nishba v'layot v'shalim. On the other hand, if he swore but didn't want to pay, nimtza ganav mishalim v'shalim kefal, tava chamacha mishalim v'shalim alav chamisha. Lemi mishalim, in this case, who does he pay? Labala pikadon. In this case, he pays the owner of pikadon. First of all, we had actually in Bava Kama, we had a machlokes between Abaye and Rava,
yes,
which would be about the two relative parts of our Mishnah. We talked over there about a case, for example, where he swore, which would then make him potter, but then he turned around and said, you know what, I have Rachmanis on you, let me pay after all. Which part of the Mishnah takes precedence for that? So according to Abaye and Rava, respectively, you did need the two parts of the Mishnah. But aside from that, also, Mefarshim point out there's another chiddush in the second part of the Mishnah. Namely, you might have thought that maybe the ganav in this case doesn't have to pay kefal at all. Kefal maybe only applies when he stole it directly from the reshus of the owner. In this case, it wasn't in the reshus of the owner, it was in the reshus of the shomer. Yeah. Maybe he should be possible. Kefal? No, he still is. Tosfos points out a couple of things over here. One is that when we say v'nignavoy sha'avdu, what's the avdu? If there's avdu, there's no kefal involved. So Tosfos says maybe it shouldn't be godus avdu. Then Tosfos says maybe yes, after all, avdu means that the shomer claims it was avdu. But meanwhile, it turns out it was nignav, for example. Also, Tosfos points out any kind of claim where the shomer would say that where the shomer would end up saying that he has to pay is also valid in getting him the kefal. For example, forget if he says nignavu and then decides I'm going to pay anyway. What if he says poshaiti, for example? What if he says I was pesheya? Fine, also makes him obligated to pay. Mm-hmm. Then that will mean it means that he'll be zocher in the kefal on those grounds. Because he made himself chayev of what he could have gotten away with saying that he was potter.
So he will have to pay the kefal?
So he will, at that point, pay the keren, because he said I was pesheya. But if it turns out it wasn't pesheiti, or if it was, whatever, but the ganav is caught, and the ganav ends up paying kefal, that kefal will go to the shomer. By the same logic as if he actually paid out. So we'll see in the Gemara, that's not just if he actually pays, but if he says I'm going to pay, yeah. There is, by the way, also in that regard, there's a machlokas we're showing him, there's a machlokas between the Ramban and the Rashba. What if you have a case where the shomer would have been completely potter? Let's say, for example, there's edim that was stolen. He doesn't have to pay, nor does he have to swear. In that case, if he voluntarily pays, does he get the kefal? The Ramban holds in that case no, and the Rashba holds he still would.
Why he shouldn't get the kefal?
Because in that case, when does he get the kefal? When he could have made a claim that would potter him. When he could have made a claim that would be Mechayev, he could have said I was Peshea, he could have said, for example, whatever,
in this case,
there's nothing, there's Adim, there's nothing for him to claim, exactly. Therefore, the Ramban argues that there's no basis for him to get the kefal, whereas the Rashba disagrees, okay? So the Gemara says, Lomalei the Mishnah Behemah, Lomalei the Mishnah Kalim. Why does the Mishnah have to mention two cases, where he gave him a Behemah or Kalim to watch? Like, seriously, we need both cases. Be a ton of behema, because if the Mishnah had only mentioned behema, you would say, have I'm in a behema who demakne like fela. You would say, fine. In the case of an animal, the owner is willing to be makne, the shomer, the kefal in advance. As we're going to see soon, it has to be done in advance. Mishum the nofish tircha, because there's a great tircha involved in taking care of an animal. La yula, la puka, to bring it in and bring it out. It's an animate object that has to be taken care of.
It's an animate
object. Avokalim the lenufish tircha. Avokalim there's not such a tircha. You bury them in the ground and then that's that. You know, you don't really have to deal with them. Amaloi, makne like fela, you would say. Maybe the owner would think to himself, why should I bother giving him in advance the kefal? Fine, he was a nice guy. He paid me. He'll have paid me instead of being matriach me to base dinner. But still, he didn't go to such trouble with the cotton in the first place. The Tana Kalim, on the other hand, if the Tana only mentioned Kalim, have I mean a Kalim who to come makne like Fela? You would say, on the contrary, though, there's more of a reason to be makne him the kefal when it comes to Kalim. Mishum le nofish kiflayo, because there's not much. You're never going to have more than kefal. You're never going to have more than the shlame kefal when there's Kalim involved. Aval behema, but when it comes to an animal, the kitava chomacha mishan bashlame dal behay, there if the ganav were to have shechted or sold it, all of a sudden we're talking four or five times the value of the animal. You would think maybe then the owner is not willing to be makne such a large potential gain that he should be makne to the shomer just because the shomer was nice enough to not bother having him come to base in and paid him voluntarily. Tzmicha, so therefore we need both cases, the Hema and Kedem. You can't learn one from the other, right? Four and five doesn't apply to Kedem, exactly. Four and five only applies to Shor and Seh. We learned that in Rav Kama.
Not to say that it's because it's more valuable.
No. We're talking about a Kedem that's worth $1,000. No, it's a matter of you're never going to have more than double the original value.
From the Pasuk, right?
Yeah, we learned over there. We learned that's it. From the fact that the Torah said, the fact that the Torah mentioned the tachas atzoyin, tachas atzer, the extra words over there told us that it meant only that. Maskif lo Rami Bachama. Now Rami Bachama asks a question. Rashi says the question is on the Mishnah as a whole. The Mishnah is telling us that the shomer is going to get the kefil if he paid. So Rami Bachama is going to ask, how does that work? The Ritva has a long discussion about it where he says, maybe not. He says you never find an Amora asking a question on Mishnah using the word maskif. Maskif is always something used in the Gemara when you're arguing on another Amora statement. So therefore he explains that the question is not so much on the Mishnah.
Between Amorim.
Yes. The question is not so much on the Mishnah, therefore the Ritva learns. On the Mishnah itself you could say that fine. The Chachamim made a special
Mishnah, it's an Amora.
And Amora can't contradict the Mishnah, but it can ask what's the reasoning behind the Mishnah.
But here, Maskif sees.
That's the point. That's the Ritva's point. The question is not on the Mishnah per se. Fine. If it was just the Mishnah, you would say, fine. The Chachamim made a special takana that the Shomer gets the cable. Never mind the usual dinim of Kenyan. But since the Gemara just established over here, that it's the owner that is Machne, the kefil, to the Shomer, now we have the question, how could he be Machne something that doesn't exist yet? Therefore, he's Maskif on that discussion of the Gemara. So the question is, a person cannot be machne something that doesn't exist yet. This kefil doesn't exist yet. The ganav is not chayiv in it. And even according to the mayor drama, other machne davar shalei bala olam, he says a person can be machne something shalei bala olam. We learned that in kedushin. In primarily, we talked about it in a number of places. We had it in Rava Kama as well. But in kedushin, for example, we have the case over there. Let's say a man says to a woman, I'm makadish you. I'm enough that I will become a ger. So he's not a ger yet, but yeah. Okay. Even according to the mayor who says, Adam Machna Dovash Lebalalam, Hani Milik, then Peiris Dekel. That works, for example, with Peiris of a palm tree. Davidi de Osu. They regularly come. So therefore, it can be expected in advance that they can be expected in advance that they're going to come. And therefore, the Mefarshim have a number of different discussions why we would say, according to the Chachamim, Ein Adam Machna Dovash Lebalalam. One idea is it's based on the idea of smichus das, that we can't assume the one who's buying the thing has any kind of mental guarantee that it's actually going to happen. So fine, in the case of Peiris Dekel, David Idol, still fine, you can make that work. Aval Chacham. Right. And even then, the Chachamim would disagree. We're talking about how the owner is machne to the shomer. Never mind, the shomer may want to well acquire the kefil. Fine. The question is, while the animal is still in the owner's rishus, how is it possible for him to in advance be machne a kefil? That may never happen. Yeah, aval hacha miyema demignava. Number one, who says the animal is ever going to get stolen? The imtim tzalam demignava, and even if it gets stolen, miyema demishtakach ganav. Who says the ganav is ever going to be caught? The eve mishtakach ganav, and even if the ganav is caught, mi yema demishalim, who says the ganav is going to end up paying kefil or tashlumi dalav behei? Duma moidi or miftar. The ganav may well end up admitting, which as we learned in Baba Kama, moidi b'knas potter. So therefore, if he admits that he owed this knas, he'll be potter from it. He only has to pay the keren. Yeah. No, never mind shavur. No, the ganav doesn't make the swear. Yes, there's a pretty moidi. Well, yeah. But Tosfos points out it would have to be he's moidi before Edim came. We learned in Baba Kama, we learned in Machloikas, whether it be Moida and later on Adam came, is he Chayev in the class, after all, we're going over here according to the opinion, which is in fact Tosa says is the Halacha, that in fact the Ganav would be Potter from Kesel in that case. So there you go. Yes, as long as he did it before the Adam came. So therefore, with all those uncertainties, who says there's any Kesel to talk about, that you could say when the owner is giving the animal to the Shomer to watch, at that time he's going to mark him a Kesel that may never happen. Amar Rava, it's like this. So the answer is Rava says like this. Nase ka'omer loy. We consider it as when he's giving him the animal to watch, it's as if he tells him, the Chachamim figured, Kim lehu l'rabbanan, Rashi says, the Chachamim have figured out that the owner would rather be certain that he's going to get back his keren and be willing to say, on that basis, I'm willing to risk the kefil. Therefore, it says, if he says to the shomer when he gives it to him, lich shetigonev, if this animal should get stolen, v'tirtzil shameni, and that you're willing to pay, lich shetigonev, should this animal get stolen, tigonev, it's in the future. It's in the future right now when he's doing it. If in the future this animal gets stolen, v'tirtzil shameni, and in the future you will be willing to pay me, harei para tiknui l'chol me'achshav, then my para is given over to you by a kinyan as of now. So therefore, as of now, meaning by the time it gets stolen, it belongs to the shomer. Well, if it belongs to the shomer, then he gets the kefil and the dalei b'hei.
Then Nasseh didn't say it.
He didn't say it. Nasseh says if he said it.
Still dalei shulamayim.
No, that's the thing. No, because the animal itself is voluntary. The animal itself is fine. It's al tnai. Fine, you can make a kinyan al tnai. We learned about that extensively in Kiddushin. Okay, there is actually Mephoshim talk about some of the Mephoshim talk about the question of why it's not Zavah Shalai B'Olam, but basically the answer is Zavah Shalai B'Olam is when one of the three, you have three things involved in a Kinyan. You have the one who's giving it, the one who's receiving it, and you have the actual object itself. Here, all three things exist. The actual Parah exists at the time.
The cow, the
owner, and the Shomer all exist at the time. So therefore, he's able to be makna him the para as of now when he gives it to him. And fine, automatically, that means that the kefil will be his when the time comes. Maski for Rav Zeira. However, Rav Zeira asks him that. Ihochi, if you're going to say that, if you're going to say that effectively the shomer has been the owner of this animal the whole time while it was in his rishus, afilu gizeseo vladeseo nami, then also he should be able to keep the gizos, the shearings of it, and the vlodos, and the children, that are the babies that it had while he was watching it, should also belong to him, because once he pays, the whole tnai over here is l'chshetigonev v'tirtzot shamein. Fine, but we should say, if the animal gets stolen and he's willing to pay the owner, retroactively we should say that he owns all the wool that was sheared off it. Not just the dalavah, the kefil and dalavah we said in the Mishnah. What we're saying also, the shomer should now be entitled to all the gizos and all the vlodos that happened at least until the gneva, maybe even until he pays. Alamatanya, so in that case, why is it that it says in a braisa, chutz megizaseo vladeseo, that the gizos and vlodos are excluded? The shomer is not, in fact, entitled to those. Elam Rav Zeira. Okay. Nasaka imale chutz megizaseo vladeseo. Fine. We have to modify what Rava said a little bit. Rava's Nasir. Nasaka imale, it's as if he says to him that if the animal is stolen and you're willing and you're paying me, then the para, except for its gizos and vlodos, is hereby handed over to you. My sucker, in that case, then what's the definitiveness? What makes you definitively say that the owner is willing to give away the kefil, but not willing to give away the gizos and the blood? The answer is stoma de milta. We can assume, as a general rule, shvacha de asim alma ovid inish de makne. A person is going to be willing to be makne to somebody else, a shvach, a gain in the value that comes from the outside, like in this case, the kefil, which is not intrinsically something from the animal. Shvach, the migufa loy of a dinish shemakne, where the person is not usually going to be makne, a shvach that comes from the animal itself, the actual wool or the actual babies that the animal had, he's not going to be so willing to be makne just on a flimsy basis like this.
Shvach that's
from alma that comes from elsewhere, in other words, the kefil or the dalei b'hei, because it comes from the outside. You have an external party involved, the ganav, as opposed to the gizus and vlodus that come from the animal itself.
That he wants to keep,
and therefore we can assume that that's all included in the tonight.
Without being explicit.
None of this is explicitly
right,
said. That's
right.
The point, yeah.
Right.
So therefore, the bottom line is, therefore, that when he gives him the animal to watch, implicitly he's making a kinyan with him on the basis of this side. And therefore it works.
Chutz with the
gin. Ikadamri, another version of what of the discussion, is Amar Rava, Nasakai Malai, that according to the second version, Rava says it's as if that we consider as if the owner tells the shomer, lich shetigonev, should this animal get stolen, v'tirtzeo tshameni, and you're willing to pay me, somoch l'gnevasa knuyalach, then right before, a short time before it gets stolen, at that point you will acquire it. Meaning, basically what we're doing is, it's kind of like we're doing a kinyan now, which will only take effect later. So we learned, Rashi points out, we learned about such a concept in Ksubas. We said, for example, that if you tell the other guy, make a meshicha, do meshicha on this cow, however the kinyan will only take effect in 30 days, then he's not koina unless in 30 days the animal is in a place where he's able to be koina. So here it's a, yeah. So my binah, the Gemara says, what's the practical difference between the two different versions of Rava's statement? Whether he's machne to him right away at the time he gives it to him to watch, or whether he's machne to him long before it's stolen, the first version was when I give it to you, it could only be stolen two months later. Or the second version is right before. What's the difference? Number one, Ikebenayu Kusha did Rav Zeira. Number one, according to the second version, you don't have Rav Zeira's question because there's no Gizis and Vladis to be concerned about in that short amount of time. Inami Dekaima Ba'aga. If you say he was Machna to him 2 months before it's stolen, fine. What happened to the Gizis and Vladis during those 2 months? But if you say that he's Machna to him 5 minutes before or an hour or whatever, before the Gmeva, then fine, there's no Gizis and Vladis to worry about. So then you don't need Rav Zeira's modification.
What's the reason to think that it should be?
So the first assumption is because when he's doing the sira, that's when the kinyan should take effect. But the actual kinyan lechora can only happen when the act thing is actually transferred over.
That's the two versions.
Inami dekaima ba'agam, or another possibility: suppose that at the time of the gneva, the animal is standing out in the meadow. According to the first version, doesn't matter. He was machneh to him at the time he gave it to him. At the beginning, when he first gave it to him to watch. Therefore, the fact that now, 2 months later, when it's stolen, it's in the agam, big deal. He was already kineh at that time. According to the second version, since effectively, again, this is similar to saying, you do mashicha now, the kinyan will only take effect in 2 months. Well, that means at the time it takes effect, 5 minutes before the gneva, what, an hour before the gneva, whatever, it has to be in a place where he can be kineh. An agam is not a place; it doesn't belong to him. So therefore,
point is what?
That's the point. Yeah. So it would have to be in his rishos. Therefore, the original mashicha cannot. Therefore, the original mashicha cannot work because there's no kinyan that can take place now. That would be a there's no kinyan taking place now that would be valid.
So we slug up the second version.
No, we're not slugging up nothing. We're just saying that according to the second version, if the animal is out in the meadow, then it doesn't work, and therefore the shomer is not going to be able to be kohen to the kesel. Here's where, by the way, a number of Rishonim and Achronim discuss the question how this all fits with the idea of Breira. We've learned many times about Breira. The halacha is Ein Breira. We don't know, Marshall, among others, points out the question, we don't know in advance when the Gneva is going to be, that we should be able to say that an hour before the Kinyan should take effect. Isn't that an issue of Breira? If the halacha is Ein Breira, how does that work? And if we knew the thing was going to be stolen at 10 o'clock on Tuesday, fine. We could say 9 o'clock on Tuesday, the Kinyan takes effect. We don't know. So therefore, how can... So there are, the Chazon Ish, for example, says, you see from that, Breira doesn't apply to Dinim Ominous. Most other Rishonim don't take that view. They say no, because Breira applies. The whole concept of Breira is when the thing itself, that you're trying to make a Kinyan, or that you're trying to do the thing, or that you're trying to make the change of status in, itself is uncertain what it is. The part of land that you're going to get as inheritance, the part of the wine that you're going to be separating aside as truma, whatever. Here, the actual animal exists all the time. The only question is what time is the Kinyan going to take effect? Fine, that's like any other Tanai. It can take effect when it happens, or right before it's supposed to happen. The Mishnah said, "Shilim v'lo rotzli shomer." The Mishnah said that if the shomer pays and does not want to swear, then that's when he gets the kefil or the dalad v'hei, as the case may be. Amar Rav Chiya v'Abba Amar Rav Yechanan, "Loi shilim shilim mamish." The word shilim does not literally mean that he has to actually pay it. Ela kivin shomer hareini mishalim af pishle shilim. Once he says, "I'm going to pay," even if he has not actually paid yet, he already acquires the kefil with that.
The consent that he says.
Umar says, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah and see if that's correct. Shilim v'leirot to lishoba. The Mishnah says he paid and didn't want to swear. Shilim ein lo shilim lo, implying only if he actually paid, only if money actually changed hands. Not if he just said, I'm going to pay. So therefore, the Rav Chiya v'Abba's din can't be correct. The answer is Eima Sefer, fine. Look at the next part of the Mishnah, Nishva v'leirot to lishalim, that it says we swore but didn't want to pay. Time of the leirot, so the reason we're saying he doesn't get the kefil in the second case is because he wasn't willing to pay. Harotza, implying that if he's willing to, if he said I'm going to pay, or like Tosafot said before, even he made a claim that automatically is mechayakim, for example, I was pesheya, then that should be enough, even without, Harotza afish leshilim. So if he wants, even if he didn't pay yet, that's good enough to get him the kefil.
He's willing.
Hello, okay, mahalaka la mishma. No, so fine, you can't prove anything from our Mishnah. Again, one or the other statement in our Mishnah is not meant to be precise. And we can't tell which one. So therefore, one of them is just parallel to the other. We can't tell which one. So you can't prove or disprove Rechei Ba'Avos Din. You can't prove or disprove Rechei Ba'Avos Din from our Mishnah.
Does it make sense to think that he's going to acquire the chayfah just by saying that? And he's going to acquire the chayfah and owe the money back to the owner?
Well, remember, when he says, I'm going to pay, automatically, that obligates him at that point. He's going to be held to his word. He's going to have to pay. So the very fact that he said, I'm willing to pay, meaning I'm not going to make you come to Beis Din, I will do it voluntarily, is reason enough that we can say that the guy is willing, therefore, to have accepted that at that point that will trigger
the Reisha.
Well, that's what we're saying. The Reisha and the Sefer seem to contradict each other, but we don't have a way to prove yet. Okay. However, Tanya Chava said Rabbi Yechanan, we do learn a braisa in accordance with what Rabbi Yechanan said, where the braisa says, if somebody rents a cow from somebody else, where a socher is somebody who's chayiv in Gneva Vaveda, he's like a Shema Socher in that regard. So he
takes the merchandise of the...
No, socher is he rents. He rents the cow. He says, I'm renting the cow from you for X amount of time. I'm going to pay you X amount of money. That makes him like a Shema Socher. It makes him chayiv if the animal gets stolen or lost.
Not like a show
would be chayiv in that case, and also if there was an onus. A show was part of an onus. Yeah. So he rented the cow, the nignava, and then it was stolen. The person, meaning the shomer, said, I will pay and I'm not going to swear. And then we find the ganav. Then the ganav pays the kefal to the socher. So we see the socher didn't even have to pay. All he said is, Hareini Mishalim. I'm willing to pay. Then already that makes it, that's enough. Yeah.
So that goes like the sefer.
That's what we're saying. In other words, that you can't prove from the Mishnah one way or the other, but the Braisa comes and clarifies that's what it means. Unless he said, I'm unwilling to pay, then he gets the kefal. Yeah. Amar Rapapa. So Rapapa says, let's expand on this din a little bit. Let's see how it applies to all the different kinds of shomrim. Shomachinam, kibin shama pashaiti, makne lekfela. A shomachinam, where the only thing he can be chayav for is pshia, then very well. If he says pashaiti, if he says I was careless with it, makne lekfela, then at that point the owner is makne him the kefal. Because if he had wanted, it's sort of like a nigui, he could have postured himself and he could have postured himself and gone and sworn that it was stolen. And the fact that he didn't, the fact that instead he says parshaiti, which automatically means, therefore, I am chayav to pay, that's the equivalent of saying, I'm going to pay, and therefore, at that point, he's coin of the capel.
The baal.
No, the shomer.
The shomer.
The shomer is coin of the capel, yeah. Similarly, Shomer
Sof,
he's chayav to pay because he said Pashaiti. The fact that he said Pashaiti triggers that now he's chayav to pay the keren.
Right.
Now, if in the end it turns out the animal was stolen, and we catch the ganav, and the ganav ends up paying kefal, he will get the kefal. Because since he was willing to say Pashaiti, rather than get himself off the hook by saying, for example, Nignava, Avda, what have you, which would have then required the owner to take him to Beis Din and make him swear, instead he didn't do that, he just short-circuited that by saying Pashaiti, right. Then therefore that gets him the table.
Okay.
Even though he hasn't paid yet, right. Similarly, Shomer Socher, Kivin Shomer Nignava, Makne Lekfela. Similarly, once a Shomer Socher says the animal was stolen, which is something that he would be chayav for, then automatically Makne Lekfela, and the owner is Makne him the table, again, meaning that the condition that we said before, Rava's Nasa Ka'imoloi, is triggered by that. Because he could have pastured himself, he could have claimed that the animal was broken or that it died, both of which would be considered einsin, and he would have been pastor. Again, the fact that he's saying I'm chayev, the fact that he's saying I'm chayev, therefore I have to pay, means that therefore the owner is willing to be machne in the kefal for in return for the fact that he didn't make him have to schlep to Beis
Din. When you say enadam motzei atzmo v'rasha, when you say that the person's not going to make himself a Russian and alive.
It's similar. It's not really. I mean, Eidon Mesa Masme Rosha means that a person, that we don't accept Eidos about a person when he says that I did an Aveira, for example. But Pashaiti doesn't necessarily have to be an Aveira. It just means
that
the Migui, okay, but a Migui in general.
Not true.
No, it's not true, but okay, he could have claimed it.
But that Yeah. Make him a Rosha?
Yeah, but that, if he were to claim the Migui, we wouldn't know. We would have no way of knowing whether he's telling the truth. A Yid has a Cheskes Kashrus. We would assume he's telling the truth. He's swearing. Yeah,
that's it.
On the other hand, Shoyol, Sha'omah, Hareini Mishalom, Le Makne Le Tfela. On the other hand, continues Rav Papa, if a Shoyol says that I will pay, so not only whatever it is that he claims, whether he claims there was an onus, Gneva Vaveda, whatever, Shoyol is chayiv in everything. Because, even if he says, Hareini Mishalom, Le Makne Le Tfela, he's still, the owner is not Makne him the Kefal. Why? Because with my Havala the Mishter Nafshe, because what else could the Shoyal have patted himself with? There is one. The only claim he could have used to patted himself for Meis Machnas Malacha. He could have patted himself maybe by claiming Meis Machnas Malacha, that it died in the normal course of work. However, Meis Machnas Malacha lo Shchiyach. However, that's an uncommon kind of thing, and therefore we would not accept that basically as this sort of niggle. We would not, if he had claimed Meis Machnas Malacha, we would not believe it without some kind of evidence. And we'll learn later on in the Sefer that, for example, if there is the truth is, in general, really, with the claims of Shomrim that Amram writes, based on Gemara's later and on after, if there's people around who can testify one way or the other what happened, then you can't just believe the guy based on his Shura. He has to bring the Edim. Look, it happened in the Rosh Hashanah. There's Edim around. Go bring Edim rather than swearing.
Like the case we saw yesterday, the Amram collapses, it's two Edim and it died. That should be enough. If he's overburdened.
Well, okay. Yeah. But the... So
it's a cricket and a tina.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we didn't really talk about Adim per se over there, but okay. So in general, whenever a Shomer claims something, if there's Adim available, he's going to have to bring the Adim. But here, we're talking about with a Shoyal, where he claims Meis Machnas Malacha, it's not even common enough, again. So if there's Adim, fine. Of course, they'll bring Adim. Then, okay, there's no question, but to say there's no choice but to take the Adim at their word. But if there's no Adim, we can't just believe him on his own to say Meis Machnas Malacha, because it's uncommon, according to this version. Anyway, we have another version in a second. Therefore, the fact that he could have said that is not considered a valid claim. All we're left with is any other reasonable claim he could have made automatically makes him chayav anyway. Therefore, there's no way that the owner can say, you know what, you were nice about it. You didn't make me schlep to base stand. Therefore, I'm going to mock me the kefal, because there's not really. He didn't really have any alternative. What?
You can't say Baal Avim, can
you? No, you can't say Baal Avim unless the Baal was actually there. And then,
that was a really good plan. The other guy was denied.
Of course. Ikadamri, that's one version. The other version is Ikadamri, Omer Apapa, Shoyal Nami, that no, actually, even a Shoyal, Tivin Shal Maharin, Mashalam Makne, like Sela, that even a Shoyal, once he says, I will pay, then he acquires the cable. D-Boy, Potter Nafshim, Meis Machmas Alacha, because he could have patted himself with Meis Machmas Alacha. According to the second version, maybe not Meis Machmas Alacha, is not so common, but still, it's reasonable enough that it is a claim he could have attacked.
Because of the work.
Just normal, in the normal course of work, all of a sudden it peeled over. It's not so common, but it could happen. Amalei Rav Zvid, however, Rav Zvid says to Rav Papa, you should know, Hochi Amar Abaya, you should know that Abaya said differently than your second Lashon. Shoyal Ad Shi Yishalem, that a Shoyal does not get the Kefal until he actually pays. My time, a Hoyal V'Cholana, so he pays the Karen, My time, a Hoyal V'Cholana Shaloi, because since a Shoyal has all the benefit, the reason why a Shoyal has the highest level of responsibility is because he has all the benefit and none of the payout. A Shoyal gets to use it for free. He's not paying for it like a Sefer. He's not having to, he's able to use it, unlike a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sacher. So he has all the benefits of a Shomer without any of the payment of it. Therefore, that's exactly why the Torah imposes on him the highest level of responsibility. So because of that, words are not enough to be, saying Hareini Mishalem is not enough to be Machnehim the Kefal. Because...
The second version.
No, Rav Zvid is telling him that Abaya says, regardless of whatever version you're saying, a Shoyal, your first version said that if he says Hareini Mishalem, he doesn't get the Kefal because he didn't have any other alternative. The second version said he does say it, and that's fine. Abaya says something more like your first version, but differently. You gave the reason because the Shoyal had no choice, because the only thing he could have said is Meis Machnas Malacha, and we wouldn't believe him in that. Abaya gave a different reason. Because, look in Rashi Loi Machnilei, across from Gurion Ashas.
Yeah.
For the owner will not be willing to be makne the kefil to the shoyl just on the basis of saying harini mishalim. She'ein zu shum tova because he didn't do him any favor. Mutol haya olav la miyachdaike she'ishil lechinam. The shoyl already had a responsibility to make the owner to appease the owner because after all the guy was willing to lend it to him for free. He had all the benefit. Therefore, just saying harini mishalim, that's the minimum responsibility that you as a shoyl have, since the guy did you such a favor and lent it to you for free. Forget about what other claims you could have made, couldn't have made, or whatever. The bare minimum you have to do is go tell the guy harini mishalim. You know what? You lent it to me for free. For whatever reason, it's gone now. I will take responsibility. I will pay up. You can't say on that basis that the owner is going to say, oh, you did me such a favor, therefore it's not a favor. It's just a minimum person, the minimum thing that a person ought to do.
If the bar asks for pikadon in case, is he considered shem echinam?
Then probably he would be considered a socher.
A socher.
Probably, I know. By the way, Tosfos points out there's another difference between Rapapa's first explanation and Abaya's. According to, suppose the shoyl, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, in general, kol tnai shem momen kaim, any tnai that you make, almost any tnai you make in dinim momenus is fine. Therefore, for example, a shoyl can make a condition. When he borrows the thing, he and the owner of the animal can mutually agree, I will only have the responsibilities of a shem echinam. Now, what happens in that case? According to Rapapa's first explanation, fine. When he says now, for example, that I was pesheya, fine, he can get the kefil, because having the response, having the liability of a shem echinam, he could have said gneva, he could have said aveda, he could have said oinus, etc. Therefore, he did the guy a favor, he's willing to say harini mishalim, and therefore he should get the kefil.
Could have the liability, but who says he's just going to get all the positive things?
That's the thing. If we say that he only has the liabilities of a shem echinam, it means just like a real honest-to-goodness shem echinam, he could have said gneva, he could have said aveda, or whatever. He didn't, and therefore that's a favor. Whereas according to Abaya's explanation, we're saying that no, the fact of the matter is, as a shoyl, the minimum responsibility that he has, even though as far as liability, it's true he only has the liability of a shem echinam. But as far as taking responsibility, as far as basic being a mensch, the minimum he can say is harini mishalom, because you did me such a favor and lent it to me for free. Tanya Kava says it of Zvid. We learn a braita in accordance with the way of Zvid explained it. Hashoyl par machaber of enigneva. If somebody borrows a cow from somebody else and it was stolen, the kidim ashoyol v'shilim, the shoyol went ahead and paid, v'achachach nimtza aganav, and then the ganav was found, mishalom v'shlomo kefil v'shoyol, then you paid the shlomo kefil to the shoyol, only because the kidim v'shilim, only because he went ahead and paid. Yeah. So, how does that fit with Rapapa's thing? L'lishna kama did Rapapa v'adalei havetiyuvta. Fine, it's not a contradiction to Rapapa's first version, because okay, the fact is Rapapa said that Rapapa gave a different reason than Abaya. Fine, but the fact is he said that Rapapa actually said over there that even if he paid, he doesn't get the kefil. So fine, so Rapapa could understand our braisa that the kidim b'shilim means what I'm saying, Rapapa says, is if he only says I'm going to pay, then that doesn't get him a kefil. But if he actually pays, like our braisa says, I'll agree on that basis he gets the kefil, because he actually fully squared things away. He actually physically paid. So the braisa is not necessarily a contradiction to Rapapa's first version. Should we say, though, that the braisa clearly contradicts Rapapa's second version, where we said that even if he says harini mishalim, that's already enough to get him a kefil, because he could have said meis machnas malacha? The answer is amalacha papa. No, because your papa can answer you. Mi alimim masnisin. Why is the bright? You think the bright is any stronger than the Mishnah? Tikatani shilim. After all, the Mishnah also used the word shilim. Ukimna ba'amar, and we explain that shilim in the Mishnah doesn't literally mean that he paid. It means that he said he's going to pay. Hachanami ba'amar. So the same thing the bright said. When it says v'kidim v'shilim, can mean that he said. Okay. The question is, me dummy, how can you compare it? Hasam like katani kidim. The Mishnah doesn't say the word kidim, that he went ahead. The braisa means that he went ahead. L'chora means that he actually paid. They actually went ahead and paid. Yeah. The answer is no. My kidim v'amar. No, because the word kidim can mean he went ahead and said, I'm going to pay, before the guy took him to base. The problem is, but we had the braisa before, earlier in the middle of the Amud. We quoted, and then we have this braisa instead of the kidim. The second one about the shoyol says the kidim ashoyol v'shilim. The difference in wording is shmamin adavki katani. L'chura, that means that kidim v'shilim means exactly what it sounds like. He actually went ahead and paid before the guy was taken to base. Okay. question is, why? What makes you think that the wording of one braisa favors on another one? Midi gabi hadodi tanya. Who says the two braisas were taught in the same bismedrash? Every tana has their own style, has their own style of wording. One tana might use the word omar, the other one might say kidim b'shilim, but also meaning like an omar mishnah that he
without
said I'm going to pay. Yeah. However, the Gemara says, Shailinu l'tanoi d'beir apchiyav u'd'beir aposhia. However, the B'nai HaYeshiva, when asked the Tanoim, who regularly taught the brightest of Rav Chiyah and Rav Oshia, Tanoim, not meaning Tanoim like Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosi and Rav Shimon, but Tanoim as in the ones who would review brightest, the ones who would review brightest in this Medrash, and particularly who would review the brightest of Rav Chiyah and Rav Oshia, which are the most important ones, to ask them, were these two brightest part of one long brightest? But Amri, and they said, indeed, Gabi Hadadi Tanyan, yes, these two braises were taught together. They both came from the same Beis Medrash, and therefore, yes, the wording of one does bear on the wording of the other one, and therefore, yes. If, in fact, the one part of the braise says V'omar, and the other one says V'kidim B'shilim, you have to say that the second one means V'kidim B'shilim means exactly that he paid, not that he said he's going to pay. So, yes, in that case, it contradicts Rapapa's second Lashon, and we're left with either Rapapa's first Lashon or Abaya's. And the halacha is actually that since we said Tanya Kava said that Rav Zvid, then therefore it means that the halacha is like Rav Zvid, what Rav Zvid quoted in the name of Abaya, that the reason is because kol ano shaloi, and therefore never mind what he could have claimed or not. As a mensch, his responsibility is to say, I will pay, and nothing short of the actual paying will get him the problem.